You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Our thanks to Larry for chiming in. Phone lines remain open if you want to discuss. A lot of Saints fans not happy. Mark Ingram, $500,000 difference to sign with the Ravens than the Saints. Do you think that's how it started, though? We'll discuss that. Pels, join the intern. They played the Bucks last night. Did you watch the game?
I forgot it was on, and then all of a sudden,
Dynamite drop in there, Jordan. Welcome to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that Camel Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
There is Shot Gina to the underground, the Camel, head coach Sean of the Peyton. They're busy over there on Airline Drive. Not busy enough for Jordan the intern and others, apparently. 800-998-1003. Saints fans unhappy. Words of wisdom. I do find it remarkable, though, as Larry and I talked about in hour number one. I mean, it's almost like a sense of feeling it's over. Right? Mark Ingram signing elsewhere. It's over. It's done. Saints are no longer a playoff team. How did they let him go? I understand it's an impact in the locker room. I understand just by reading on social media and various tweets that certain players are heartbroken. They're upset. They're saddened. I get it. As I said yesterday, though, I hear you. Teron Armstead, dude, stinks. Sometimes you can't value a player by stats. I hear you. Is he willing to give up some of his money? Marshawn Lattimore, these guys getting paid. Pay our man. I hear you. Are you willing to take less on your contract when the deal comes up? Michael Thomas, a lot of people feel 5 years, $100 million. Sean Fazan said it. That's going to happen probably. Is he willing to go 5 years, $90 million? You hear what I'm getting at, though, right? It's fine to say pay him. You ain't got the money. Are others willing to not take as much? I do think, as Larry pointed out in hour one, that this probably was a situation where Mark's new representation, remember he got a new agent last year, probably thinking that his value was a little bit more than what it was or thought it should be, which I understand. Everybody feels that way. And when you look at Mark Ingram, his value in his mind and to what he meant over the last two seasons, three seasons, if you want to go overall, but really, not even before last year, because last year wasn't what it was the two previous seasons, right? 1,000-yard campaigns, heart and soul, a lot people are saying that too with the team in the locker room and all that. I get all of that. I do. But as I said, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful yesterday, but it's 27, it's 53, it's 53, it's 27 yards, things of that nature. My point is he can be a key element to the offense at times in certain game plans when the Saints want to run the football, can be a key element. He's an element to the offense, but is he a bigger element than Alvin Kamara? Is he a bigger element than Michael Thomas? Is he a bigger element than probably or bigger need than what you need at tight end? Is he a bigger element than what a lot of Saints fans sort of feel? Even Larry said, he's like, look, you need to find a better receiver. He's not sold, essentially, totally on Cam Meredith, Traquan Smith. I'm not ready to kind of say Traquan's a bust yet. I like him. I think a banged-up line, lack of a tight end, certain issues like that contributed to maybe not doing that, but I think there's some things that I like in Traquan Smith. But do you need it now, right now, this very second, right? Number two, that can sort of help. As Larry said, what of Dez Bryant? Is that a guy that can come and help you? Keith Kirkwood, could that be a guy? Do you want to risks that going into the season with what you have, seeing if they can develop. I think getting yourself a decent tight end would help all of that. It's the seesaw game with the Saints right now. I understand there's fans right now, they're looking at it, right? As the numbers came out today. If you missed it in hour number one, or you're trying to figure out why are we talking about the way we are, Mark Ingram signs with the Ravens, 3 years, $15 million. If you remember last or yesterday, it's 4 for $14 million. Latavius Murray. So people are going, wait a minute, wait, it's $1 million difference. One, you know, it's actually 3.6 for Latavius Murray. And 3 and a $15 million. Here's the thing. Sean Fazan said the Saints offered 4 years, $17 million. Slight bump, but only five of it was guaranteed. Latavius Murray, the numbers coming out. Josh Cassidy, want to speak with him. He just got back to me at 2:05. We'll talk a little bit about this deal in depth. 7.2 guaranteed, but in the first 2 years. So the Saints over the next 2 years are on the hook for 3.6. That's what it boils down to. Now, 1.5 available bonuses and performance enhancers are tied into that. So the Saints save some cash. That's what they did. Now the question points out, or bears being said, if at the time that Mickey and Mark Ingram's agent chatted, if Mark's agent would have said, hey, we'll take 3 years, $15 million, five a year, would he have been happy in taking it? Remember though, per Fazan, whatever deal the Saints did give, which was an extra year, probably to kick that money down a little bit further and reduce the cap hit now, only guaranteed five. But Gus, they're guaranteeing the other running back seven over 2 years. It's over 2 years. So they're guaranteeing Latavius 3.6 this year, essentially, right? So it's less than the five they were guaranteeing Mark. How could you underpay him? How do you not want to take care of him? That's disrespectful. What are you doing? Again, it's the seesaw game. Either or what, you know, whatever the name of the game you want to play, what would you rather? What would you rather? There's some validity to Jordan's panic, right? Other teams are making moves. Other teams are going to get better. Are the Packers going to stink like they did last year? The Lions have made a bunch of moves, right? These are all NFC teams. The Bears are pretty good last year. Do they take a step up? The Rams aren't going anywhere. 49ers. Does their franchise quarterback come back from a season that's lost to injury in Garoppolo? They're making some big moves, right? So, again, I hear what people like Jordan and others say, look, where are our corresponding moves? Got to get better. Yeah, last year were good for last year. I understand all of that. But with that, Jordan, is why I'm saying play the seesaw game. What would you rather? You can look at it as it's only $500,000 this season, next season, the year after that, and it's only $1.5 million difference in guarantee money. But that little amount could be the difference in signing other players. That little amount, that mill that you save here, $1.5 million, could be somebody can contribute this year. Somebody can come in and add depth, as Larry was saying, at corner. Again, we have no idea what they're doing at D-tackle. That is a glaring, I mean, neon sign, vacancy sort of thing here. Larry and I are one sitting there going, he thinks he might start on the PUP list rankings. That's half a season. Again, I'm just saying, Onyemata could be popped for a game or two because he got popped for wacky tobacky. But even if he started and was ready to go, he's not Sheldon Rankin's caliber. He's a nice piece, and he helped. But no one's going into the offensive game plans going, boy, we got to block David Onyemata. And that's not being disrespectful. I'm just saying everybody has a role, and everybody has a place. So you take those two guys, and as Larry said, is Tyler Davidson coming back? You have holes there that you probably can address in free agency. There's some D tackles out there. through the draft. And again, in the draft, no first round pick, a pick in the second round, no third round pick, no fourth round pick. Some picks in the fifth, pick in the sixth and seventh. You try to move up, you try to add some picks. So again, it's the battle. You don't have the open book or the open checkbook. Just go out there and start spending. You don't have that. So those are the holes for me. And again, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying at all or disagreeing or arguing the point that the Saints don't need some help at that receiver position. It was a glaring weakness towards the end of the year. And Michael Thomas still got his. He still did fine. But again, you know you got to pay him. The O-line. Larry and I talked about it in hour one. Andres Pete is a player that a lot of people are talking about. I know you drafted him high. But as Larry said, you can save some money here. Just south of 10 mil. If you release him, or do you trade him because you think you can't pay him or don't want to pay him next year? Where's Andres Pete fit in the hierarchy of importance of future deals for the New Orleans Saints? Because your center, Max Unger, his last year of his deal is this year. As Larry said, looking at 8 mil right there. 8 mil. And if Teddy Bridgewater is your quarterback, don't you probably want to keep Max Unger? It's Max Unger, Andres Pete. Here goes the seesaw game again. Who are you keeping? Look, and I hear you. And again, I'm not saying I find it laughable or funny. It's just very interesting. Because two, 3 seasons ago, even when he was having 1,000-yard seasons, no one thought that Mark Ingram leaving or not leaving or saying would determine the Saints being a playoff team. They're still a playoff team without Mark Ingram. Is it going to be a miss? Sure. You saw his impact at the beginning of the season. You saw that. They're still a good team, though. But it is interesting when you look at the small amount of difference in money. And as Larry said, his people kind of valued it at 7 to 7.5 is what they could get. The Saints looked at him as a 4 to 4.5. That was the offer. 4 to 4.5 for 17 mil. Ingram's reps thought it could be 7, 7.5. It's probably, I guess, like when an asking price for a house, right? We'll ask here. We'll be happy with 6. I think they probably wanted 6. So they started with the 7, 7.5. Probably expected people to go, maybe 6. They'd love it. Because remember, the reports were the Saints talked to him for about a week, 2 weeks, right? Going into this. Because that's what someone on Twitter said. I bet you it wasn't that small amount that they haggled over $1 million difference. Because of his value, because of his locker room presence, because of what he had done for you with 2,000-yard seasons, I still think at the end of the day, $1 million, $500,000 difference, they'd find a way, whether it's performance enhancers, whether it's, hey, fine, you play the entire season and you're not injured or how many games or snaps will give you that. You could have found ways to come up with that extra money. Which leads me to believe, as someone said on Twitter, probably that initial discussion or two wasn't just the difference of $1 million. It was probably more at the time of discussion. Saints said, all right, that's what you're sticking with. I got to make a call. They called Latavius Murray. That put Mark Ingram in position today to go, I need to take the best deal with the most money, and that happened to be the Ravens. So we can look at it like this, Saints fans, and go, yeah, I can't believe it's just that small a difference. I don't think that's how it started. And when the Saints had to pull the trigger on Latavius Murray, it's probably not where it was. The final number that Mark signed for was probably lower than what he thought or asked that the Saints come back with. My guess, right? 800-998-1003. Will Lutz, his 5-year contract extension was announced today by the team. He spoke to reporters in a conference call, as did Craig Robinson and Chris Banjo. What they had to say this morning next is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Feel the magic, cash magic, where winners Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic casinos always have the newest games.
The service is just great.
It's a very friendly place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
Come have some fun. Let us make you a VIP with our fast and friendly service. It's the Cash Magic difference. Video poker at its best. Come feel the magic today at one of our 7 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker, Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP, Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Houma or Thibodeau locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop and Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop and Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Houma Credit can help with those unexpected needs for cash when you least expect it, or for home improvements or anything else you need. They have loans $300 and up. They offer fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Plus, they even accept phone applications. The folks at Houma Credit have up to 30 years' experience, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 223-1085 or look them up on Facebook.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Just been talking to the guys all offseason, and everybody's just got the same agenda. You know, we always want to get back to work and just finish what we started.
That is Craig Robertson talking a little bit about, obviously, how this team moves forward. He, Will Lutz, and Chris Manjo spoke this morning. Team setting up conference calls for them as their new deals were announced. As for Will Lutz, again, 5-year contract extension, as Larry mentioned in hour number one, likely that 5-year deal to be able to spread that money out, not take that big hit. Guy has earned it. It's been pretty clutch, right? No doubt as to what he's been able to do. He was asked this morning, how bad did he want to stay in New Orleans?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, this is a team that kind of took a shot in the dark on me from the start. And, you know, I'm obviously excited that I've been able to back up, you know, Sean's decision to stick his neck out for me. And, you know, obviously to stay here and after the carousel that kind of came through here, it's exciting. And hopefully there's a few more of these to come.
Lutz on if this, he thought this actually could have been a possibility to see a long-term 5-year contract like this be possible.
Obviously, this is it's the ultimate goal for any athlete is to reach your next contract. And, you know, I never looked back after I signed my, you know, I just kind of kept my head down and kept working. And if you do what you're asked to do, this is what it leads to. And so I'm not going to sit here and say I'm shocked, obviously, but it is. It's extremely gratifying, and it's an amazing opportunity for me.
And how are things worked out so far for him?
I mean, I got comfortable. We saw every year was, a little better. And you know, when you're working with the same unit, you know what you're going to get from the guys you're working with. Meaning, you know, Zach Wood and Thomas Morstead, and I mean, we work so hard. We trust each other, and I know when. You know, points are on the line that I know what I can expect from those two, and it makes life a lot easier on me.
He's 24, so smart. Look, I keep saying, and I said in hour number one, you better have a kicker. I mean, a quarterback. You better have a kicker too, man. I don't know, get the respect that a lot of the other skill position players are, but obviously when they move back the extra point, we saw the importance of that.
Joey and the Browns.
And then you saw, I mean, the Ravens game, right? The old Benson breath. Yeah. I mean, and that guy never misses. I mean, it's, you gotta have him. Last year, 28 of 30 in field goal attempts, had a long of 54. And out of the 53 extra point tries, he connected on 52. The accuracy's improved every year since he's come here. He has a career of field goal conversion rate of 87% currently. I know it's a shorter time frame, less kicks. I'm just telling you, the conversion rate is the highest in team history right now. It's not a bad look. That takes one responsibility and one, you know, worry off of your back. Before we get to Trey, one final bite with Lutz on being better than they were last year.
It's not necessarily about being better. I want to be able to continue to do what I've done here. You know, 87% over 3 years is a pretty good number, and, you know, obviously I want to improve on that. But it's really about just keeping my head down and continue to work as hard as we've been working over the last 3 years. And, you know, having someone like Morstead and then, you know, Zach Wood being here, it's a good opportunity to work with these guys and really just keep kind of putting the stepping stones together and just being as steady as we can be.
Trey, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Sorry if you already brought this up. I'm not sure if you have, but a couple things with Ingram and Murray that I thought were kind of relevant is sure. Not only did we get Murray cheaper, but, I mean, from a statistical standpoint, they look to be about even as far as the stats that they put up. And Murray's 3 years younger. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not that much cheaper, to use more of a chess-type mentality, you got to start thinking about extending Michael Thomas. Then the year after that, you got to start looking at Kamara, maybe Anzalone. Then the year after that, you got Lattimore and Ramczyk. So every little bit that you're cutting corners here and there will eventually start to add up. And I think sometimes it's overlooked, but the most important free agent signings can usually be the talent that you've brought in and that you've developed and keeping them here rather than trying to find a new shiny toy to be like, oh, hey, look, we grabbed this or we grabbed that. And, you know, I mean, and like you were saying, I know you were saying earlier about possibly drafting a tight end or maybe getting one a little bit cheaper, you know, what's Cam Meredith going to look like? Is he going to be healthy? I like the way Kirkwood looked last year. He's going to be developing another year of Tre'Quan Smith. So there's a lot of kind of, you know, juggling a lot of balls in the air there, but you also got to kind of think, you know, not just this, you know, free agency period. You got to think of, you know, next year, the year after that, with especially with so much young, good core talent that we have. It's the best move could be working on keeping all of those guys here and continuing to develop them.
100%, man. 100% agree with you on that. And look, you're talking about not only the age and the youthfulness of some of those players, but think of this. And I know Brian tweeted this, and I was scrolling through it with all his tweets, but because he just has the convenient list in front of me that I can read. We mentioned some already in hour number one with Larry, right? These are players in the next two seasons are going to determine or are going to be needing new deals. Ready? Cam Jordan, yep. Sheldon Rankins, Max Unger, Larry Warford, Andres Pete, A.J. Klein, Demario Davis, Ryan Ramczyk, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, Eli Apple, Marcus Williams, Von Bell, Ingram, who then left, Tyler Davidson, David Onyemata, Taysom Hill, Alex Anzalone, Teddy Bridgewater, who's agreed to come back, you don't know the terms there, and Alex Okafor is a free agent this year. That's a lot of people. I mean,
Go ahead. One of the good things too is that, you know, from what at least the last recent history has showed us that at every year the cap kind of tends to kind of go up a little bit at least. So maybe that'll help us. Plus we might be able to work out, I mean, and look, there's anyone probably in the entire NFL that I would trust more to do some adjustments and find more money out of nothing. It's probably Mickey Loomis. I mean, you can criticize him for his, you know, his player personnel kind of talent and vision, But there is no one better, I don't believe, in the entire NFL to be able to work those numbers like Mickey can.
I hear you. And look, at some point over the next couple of years, too, you're just reality, right? You're not going to have Breeze's 20-plus mil and all that other stuff. So it's going to be a little bit different.
Exactly.
I'm very interested to see what Teddy Bridgewater's deal is going to be. How many years? What's the going rate, right? If you expect him to be a starter, I'm just playing his agent here. Fine, I'm backing up, so backup money, but insurance money in case something happens to Drew. He needs to go to the bathroom for a series. Let's just go that way, right? We don't want to jinx.
Right.
We need insurance money, and then let's say you want me to be the starter, so starter money. I mean, at the very least, you're looking in the mid-teens. Huh? Mid-teens? Low-teens? I mean starter money eventually on a playoff team, maybe early, late teens, early 20s. So is it a contract that escalates later? Is it a longer, three to five? Is it two to three?
I would say three to five, possibly right in the middle at four. Because if I'm him, I mean, because in that way he could still hit, at the end of that deal, he would be, I believe, 29.
Right.
At the end of a four-year deal. So he still hits, he'd still be eligible for free agency before 30 again, which I would assume would probably work out good for him. And it would also, if we do happen to move on from Breeze one way or another, give him a year to kind of get his foot in and then maybe get his feet underneath him and then maybe really kind of, ball out and prove his worth.
Yeah. No, look, I hear you. And again, I still think at the end of the day, as you brought up, man, Trey, I think if that initial conversation, Ingram and them want 4, 15, 16, 17, which is what the Saints. I mean, look, the Saints offered Prashan Fazan 4 years, $17 million. So
well, you would have
bump.
To think that Ingram has to be somewhat disappointed because he didn't get, for the price difference from what we've seen, to one, have to, just to have to move and move your family. No one likes to move. I mean, let's just face it. No one likes to move. I actually went to the Baltimore game this past year, and it's not New Orleans, let's just say that.
Right.
And then throw in the fact that you got to go and play with, like, Lamar Jackson. Really?
Like I said, the Bears, Packers, Lions, Ravens were the teams reportedly interested in his services. The Bears, I mean, if I'm going to go be cold, the Bears seem to be a pretty good team on the rise. I just, right now, I have a hard time seeing how Kansas City isn't the favorite in the AFC. I mean, they could have and probably should have won that AFC championship game,
Absolutely.
And so, I don't know. I mean, I just look at it from that perspective. The Bears at least will be a playoff team, I think. I mean, that division, though, man, it's an arms race, right, with what the Packers have been doing, what the Lions have been doing. Everyone's kind of going in there. So I understand what Jordan's saying. Look, where are the big moves? But just remember, you're an NFC title contending team last year. And I just think in the long pictures, I just read those lists of names. I read a list of starters, key backups, or position players that have – and they all at some point need to come and get paid. So – I love Mark Ingram. Thought he was great.
Oh, absolutely. I think if he had his feet held to the fire, knowing what he knows now, I would assume that he would have taken the deal and stayed here, and then that would have been that. I mean, I just don't see that there's that much of a difference
right, to
warrant wanting to go through that and then to leave the teammates, the quarterback, the backfield teammate. I mean, it's just not that enticing, I would assume. Now, I mean, I don't know that, but I'm just saying, I'm guessing, I would assume that he may hit it. And like I said, we got to be thinking chess, not checkers. So it's not just going out to just go and say, oh, look, we brought here. Look long term. Sometimes it's best to develop and keep your talent rather than bringing some shiny new toy in which, hey, you don't really know how that's going to work as far as his overall attitude. You don't know how much his previous team may have been hiding certain injury stuff for him or work ethic issues or there may be something that was nagging him and bothering him that they worked around and kind of kept it out of the media and no one knows. It's Got to be thinking chess, not checkers.
I hear you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate the phone call, Trey.
All right, buddy. Take care, man. Talk to you soon.
Yep, thank you. BFowl2010 at GCAT_17. If Ingram walked for $500,000, he didn't really want to be here. Kenneth at GCAT_17. In Peyton, in Loomis, I trust. NFL is a business, and we have more winning seasons and losing with them than our leader, than losing with them as leaders. It is what it is. Good luck, Mark. Welcome, Murray. Let's go win the championship. At ESPN Radio, NOLA, GCAT_17 as well. You look bummed today. You're very quiet. You look bummed today.
Had a long day.
You had a long day.
A long day.
What did you do today?
Went to school. Running out of gas.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
It's a brand new year at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal on Ram at Ram Truck Month. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram Trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Napa Know How. Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa auto parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Craig Robertson coming back. You know, very key piece, I think, to this football team. I played a little bit ago. What he thinks the team's agenda is, obviously, getting back to work and trying to get rid of that taste from the NFC Championship game. Yeah, I know. Chris Banjo, Will Lutz, and he all being announced today by the team that they're coming back and keeping the special teams, I guess, core, really, along with Thomas Morstead together for a while. Craig Robinson.
It means a lot because we really had a great special teams unit, and you need three good units on a team to win a lot of games. So just, you know, a lot of people seem to forget about the special teams unit a lot of times. You know, they look at offense and defense because they play the majority of the snaps. But your special teams unit can win you games and it can lose you games. So it's just important that we're keeping a unit that we already had that was strong and just keeping it together.
Look, special teams captain, and again, a lot of fans value what he brings. He's fiery, he's passionate. Jordan, some of the early training camp practices, He was incredible. Right? I mean, making plays and defense, playing linebacker, but just also as a guy that in the past, since he's been here and he came over from Cleveland, Sean Payton's just valued. He's always, he's said it. The words, I trust him. So that's when your head coach is saying, especially him, that's pretty awesome. One of the things that he was talking about too, and you've heard a lot from Saints players, and it's something that I know when Brian's on, we always talk about it, is the culture in that locker room, the importance of the culture. You're hearing a lot, or seeing a lot rather, on Twitter and social media from Michael Thomas and Cameron Jordan and even Thomas referring to Teddy Bridgewater. We're trying to keep something special here. We're building something special here. And Robinson says, look, keeping that culture happy together, it's key, and that produces the winning.
I mean, people don't realize, you know, you can sign a big name guy to your locker room, but that doesn't mean he makes your locker room close. You know, like what we built in New Orleans is really something special, and you know, nothing like this where you know offense, defense, specialists, like everybody hangs out in some way, shape, or form. You know, whether it be after practice, guys just not on their phones. They're actually talking and getting to know about their teammates. You know, like people like, hey, man, I heard your son was sick today. Like, how's he doing? Like, it's really like a family atmosphere, you know, and it's not like that everywhere else.
You know, it's interesting because I think a lot of times you take a look again, just across the parking lot, how it almost seems a little bit different with I've given everything to the city and all I've had. I've had enough. It's my time. My time, Jordan. Am I still bitter about that?
I'm still bitter about that.
That's it. Give it enough. I'm done. That's all I can give.
He tried.
I tried.
He gave everything he had.
Everything I could. Anyway.
One playoff appearance later, or two playoff appearances later.
Not my fault. What'd you put around me? I'm supposed to lead. I'm sorry. Moving on.
In other news.
Look, a lot of people say, well, sure, it's easy to have a winning culture or a good culture when you're winning. Right? Jordan, when everything's fine, you cash that paycheck, got a little money, everything's happy, right? Everything's fine. Everything's good when things are going well. Listen to this answer from Craig Robinson, though. He says, it's not just about that. It helps. But it's a little bit more.
It makes everything sweeter when you actually do feel victory, and then to feel victory, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times in a row. Like you really enjoy it, but you just relish the moment of just how special it is. That's why me and DeMario have become so close, because we both, you know, we're in Cleveland at different times, but we understand how special it is to win, because when you don't have those wins and you're playing for other reasons, besides, you know, like you get to the end of the season and guys are just like, well, I'm just trying to, you know, just show that I keep playing so I can be on the team next year, you know? And it's just different when you actually get to, feel victory over and over and over again. And the game becomes more fun. You know, everybody's having a good time. And that's why we all play this game, is to have a good time.
Yeah, no doubt winning does help for sure, right?
Well, you know what, man? Well, my first year here, we didn't do a whole lot of winning. We were 7-9, but right. You can see, like, it was building. You know, like, when you go through stuff with people, when you actually do start seeing success, yeah, that brings you closer. But, you know, even then, we were closest. Nobody really cared to notice how close we were because we weren't winning as much, you know. And then, like, now that we're winning, everyone calls it a culture, but it's something that, you know, we've been doing for a while now. You know, it's just more evident now that, you know, we've been winning more ball games.
Now, one of the other things too, when you take a look at this culture here as well, and look at a reason I'm playing this sound and these bites and making this a segment is because, again, we're still trying to go through the Mark Ingram deal, Because I think some Saints fans are wondering, you know, again, I'm getting literally text every 5 minutes from people. Did he really leave us for $1.5 million over 3 years? I mean, did he really want to be here? Why did the team not reach out and make that happen and work? Again, I just listed you the list of names, so they had to have a budget with that. And again, I'm not saying that on the field he's not a difference maker, that he wasn't a key element of this team, but was he a key element of that offense? Remember the the seahorse or the seesaw, not the seahorse, completely different than the seesaw. Kamara or Ingram? Thomas or Ingram? The difference making tight end or Ingram? Mark Ingram helps your team, yes. I am not by any means, because when you get to this point, when you are a contending team, but also have a lot of young players that are about to make a lot of money, you have to nitpick. It's not clear cut. Does he bring you value in the locker room? Yes, check that box. Does he bring you value on the field? Yes, 2,000-yard seasons, check that box. But is that this offense? Mark Ingram's best traits and assets is when you feed him the ball. But Gus, Drew's getting older. That's fine. Okay. But is it another year? And then after that, again, I'm not signing him for this year. He wants a multi-year deal. Say this is Drew's last year. Say it's Teddy or another quarterback. A little younger, a little more mobile, a little better arm. Are we still going to feed Mark 10 to 12 times a game? You know how I feel about 41. That guy needs at least 10 to 15 touches a game. Alvin Kamara can score every time he touches the ball. Mark Ingram can't. Mark Ingram can run hard. Mark Ingram can give you energy on the field. He gives you that first down, you know, when he runs over a linebacker or two. He does. I'm with you on that. He's not Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas is your go-to guy on the receiving corps. You have to nitpick. Again, I read through his numbers after he had a pair of 100-yard games middle of the season, his biggest games of the year. Everything else was 52, 32, 23. And look, it is difficult because as Brian and I are going back and forth here during these bites, the reports out there is the Ravens may have guaranteed, looks like they guaranteed half of his 15 mil, so 7.2. Again, Sean Fazan and Diana Rossini saying the Saints, it was 4 years, 17, 17 and a half, somewhere around there, but they were only guaranteeing 5. 7.2 for them, $5 million for the Saints in guarantee money. D, we'll come to you right out of the break. You're listening to the Sports Hangover when we come back on ESPN New Orleans.
The Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic is returning to the Bayou region April 8th through the 13th at Ellendale Country Club in Houma. This signature event features the area's only professional golf tournament and much anticipated Pro-Am Day. Come enjoy good sportsmanship, good food, and fun, all for a great cause. For more information, go to marybird.org/TGMC/golf.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit CreditKarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
is Golic and Wingo.
Let's bring in our NBA analyst, Amin El-Hassan. A lot of people were, including us here, were saying, hey, what a great job Brad Stevens did last year, right, when he didn't have Kyrie down the stretch. At some point, they have to find a way to make it work because the talent is there. They're better than the sum of their parts, right?
You'd hope so, right? The whole is better than the sum of parts. But right now, that's not what's happening. That's why basketball isn't arithmetic. It's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Like in the case of the Warriors, you've got all these different talents and egos, and you would say, oh, they must have severe chemistry problems. But they find a way through their style of play to get more out of it than just individual guys going one-on-one. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you've got all this talent, but because it's either not complimentary or guys are not willing to accept the role. Because really, that's what it comes down to. Guys, A, understanding what their roles are, and then B, accepting those roles. And I think Boston has a little problem in both of those categories there.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
D, thanks for holding on through the break. What you got for us today on the Sports Hangover?
Hey, brother. Man, I just got a good news, bad news.
Okay.
The bad news on the Mark Ingram deal is that, you know, you can actually play Mark Ingram with the same way you play a great out-the-backfield pass catcher. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with Murray. He is a different kind of cat. He's a lot slower coming out the backfield. He's a bigger target coming out the backfield where he can't be missed, and he does not have the hands that Ingram has. So when he comes in the game, defense is going to know you're not going to have that screen game like you did when you had it with Ingram. So I think that's a big miss, if you ask me, because Drew Brees relies on that as a safety valve almost more than having a slot receiver. So I think that's going to hurt pretty much. I don't think it's going to kill us, but I think it's going to hurt somewhat losing a guy like Ingram, because I do think he's a more versatile back than Murray. But the good news is what a lot of people have been crying about is paying the players. You got to remember, if Drew Brees leaves this year, there's almost $24 million coming off the book. And if that comes off the books, you're going to be able to sign a lot of players that you want and get back to, you know, getting your players signed. I mean, you got to look at it this way right now. There's 18 starters on your team right now that are under contract this year. There's no other team that can say that in the NFL right now. That's huge. That means your reoccurring team is coming back ready to give what they gave the past 2 years, and all you need to do is tweak a couple of positions to make yourself better. And you know, the only way I see that is actually on that defensive line, because I don't think we can get much better really anywhere else but tight end. And tight end, you're going to have to draft or get a free agent for that. We just don't have enough. We don't have enough talent there. But Drew Brees, to remember, you got to keep Drew Brees upright, and you got to get him to where he can make the quick release. You can't make a quick release if you don't have a tight end that knows how to get out the block. And I don't think we have that right now. That's all I got, fellas. Thanks.
Yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, when you take a look at it, guaranteed money matters. And it's easy for us. You know, sometimes I go, dude, it's only $500,000. It's only a mil.
Only?
Yeah, I know. I again, it's not our money. It's the same way when
I'll take it.
Well, what I'm saying is the same way when fans always go, pay him. Why would you let him walk? It's not your money. You know? We don't know. I mean, again, look, a lot of it, I feel the initial discussions were probably for more. As Larry Holder of The Athletic said in hour number one, Ingram's peeps were looking for north of seven. Seven, 7.5. Saints came with 4 to 4.5. I get it. I've been saying this. I get it on both sides. If you're Mark Ingram, you're 29, 8 years in, you're not trending upwards, right? The miles on those legs, they're not going backwards. Do I think he's still got some years? Sure he does. Productivity, That's not what I'm saying. But I like I said, look, the Saints, you know, Brian put this on Twitter. That's interesting, too. for people that think of it or looking at it as the Saints didn't choose Mark Ingram or Mark Ingram didn't choose the Saints, he's like, no, the Saints chose Alvin Kamara over Mark Ingram. Again, out of those two players, who deserves to have the ball the most? I just finished saying a segment ago, who has the ability to score every single time? He touches the ball every time. I got to get 41 touches. Mark's best utilized when you feed him. It worked two seasons ago extremely well. It works when Sean wants to run the football and make it that. And especially with Drew and his, you know, final stage of his career, yes, it benefits them to run the ball, save that arm, do all, I hear you. After Drew, do you want to be a ball control offense? Are you going to do that? I see it on both sides. I really do. Josh Kazatstein checked in last hour, says he'll be ready to go at 2:05. So we'll talk with Josh Kazatstein of the TimespeakYouToNolan.com at the start of next hour. And then at 2:30, Joey, just for you, we made this effort just for you because we hadn't even really gotten to the big story that took place yesterday evening, which absolutely surprised a lot of people. And that was the Cleveland Browns trading for Odell Beckham Jr.
Super Bowl champion.
It is an LSU receiving core now, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. You got Chubb at running back. You have Baker Mayfield. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Goldhammer of ESPN Cleveland is going to join us at 2:30. They are throwing parties over there. This was Goldhammer this morning on Golic and Wingo. It was he's pumped, to say the least. And we'll have him on at 2:30.
We've been waiting here for so long, not just for a franchise quarterback, but for a guy who at any given moment could take the ball and go to the end zone with it, and for a sign that the Browns are really ready to go for it and be a contender and win. And I feel like on a 1 to 10 scale, the excitement from Brown fans is at an 11. They have reportedly sold out of season tickets. People are itching to buy their Odell Beckham jerseys. And I just think it's one of the biggest nights that I can remember in over a decade in Cleveland sports.
I know he was pumped. Because he texted, after I asked him to come on the show today, he said, we'll see you in Super Bowl 54.
Super Bowl 54. Saw it this morning. Get up.
Get up.
Get up. Jalen Rose and Mike Greenberg. There it is. Little Chiron, bottom of the screen. Are the Browns the favorite for Super Bowl 54? You want to talk about an overreacting? I get it. Look, they're going to be better. Joey, I told you last year they're a 5-6 win team. Just by talent. I mean, if they had a competent quarterback, especially with Mayfield if he played, they're a 5-6 win team, okay? Let's settle down before we give them the Super Bowl. Or do you want to say they're a Super Bowl? I mean, the favorite to win it?
Colin Cowherd.
Well, that guy there.
On the herd.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cleveland's being elevated to Super Bowl talk.
Super Bowl talk.
It's all on Baker Mayfield.
It's all on Baker. By the way, didn't he hate Baker? He thought he couldn't hack it, remember?
Well, he's got to cover himself. He's got to cover himself.
Let me tell you what. That is still, to this day, one of the best interviews that I've ever seen from an athlete going after a guy who makes a living just spewing nonsense sometimes.
I liked Colin when he was on Sports Nation.
I did too. Michelle Beadle. When he started on ESPN in the mornings, it was good. And I think when he went over there, it was, let me be some Skip Bayless. Let me be, he went a little too Hollywood for me. He makes some good points at times. It's just, you know, he's very big lights, big city matters. The rest of America can go eat it. Like, you know, I mean, like, and I just think that's wrong. Does that make sense? Like, unless it's New York or L.A., who cares?
Could you imagine the Cleveland Browns and the New Orleans Saints in Super Bowl 54 in Miami?
Cleveland Browns fight song.
Is that the Cleveland Browns fight song? I didn't even know that had a fight song. Wow. It is. Joey, honestly, I mean, are you pumped up? I mean, seriously. When you saw that move and I texted you yesterday, I'm like, did you just see the trade? I mean, are you, can you believe that that's your Browns?
I couldn't believe it was my Browns, but I'm pumped.
You're pumped.
Free there.
Yeah, I don't see Bud Light making a free beer challenge on this one, though. Look, I'll say this again, and it's why, and I've been telling you, Jordan, I mean, teams that they're the Browns. They're the reason you have to go make big spike. You haven't won. You haven't been in the postseason. The Saints have got to be. Okay, I just read the list that Brian put together on social media. It's just, that's a lot of names for your New Orleans Saints. It's pretty much two-thirds of the roster in the next 2 years that are going to need a new deal. I love Mark, but I need to save every penny over the next couple of years right now. I still think the Saints offense is a pretty good one, even without Mark. Latavius Murray's not a bum. You know, and let's see how he is in this offense. I mean, I guess what I try to bring up is this. You trust Sean Payton and his talent evaluation for the most part every other day of the week, right? Mark Ingram goes, what are they doing? You don't think they thought about it? Like when they said, hey, we're going to give 4 years, $14 million to this guy. Do you not think they sat down and thought, what's the plan for this player? Can he help us and can we play with him? You don't think they sat down and looked at that? Of course they did. They absolutely feel Latavius Murray. Oh, by the way, we've been playing the Vikings like every year. They probably have a good sense and feel for them. Hour three coming up next. Josh Kazakstein off the top of the hour and then Aaron Goldhammer at bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.